The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat and the Week in Comics. John and I had a blast tonight. We talked for quite a while. There's a lot of news to get to. He even surprised me with some Disney Plus news. Very excited about that, so check that out. But we got some Netflix stuff, some Scout Comics in development with Netflix. We'll tell you about that. Of course, there's Mandalorian news all over the place. San Diego Comic-Con's got some news. And I'm sure you've heard Swamp Thing's going to be on the CW, but we get into a discussion about that. Like, why? What's it? What are the ramifications going to mean? Plus a bunch of other stuff. We actually have some books, some FOC, quite a list of FOC books this week. And John's even put together some speculator back issue bonus stuff too. So getting back to normal. So let's get back in the store. Hey, John, how are you doing? Another week. I'm back.
I'm doing great, man. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's get right to it. Same as always, at least lately, our new normal. How's business? How are things going down there?
Well, again, it's good to be open.
Yep.
I guess I'll leave it at that. You know, the mad rush of people excited to come out has passed.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Okay.
So, you know, now it's just kind of a lot of sitting around by myself.
Yeah.
Know, not seeing anybody. You know, sales have been pretty soft, but you know, again, I'm there. I'm thankful to be there. And, you know, anybody that walks through the door, I'm happy to see. But that initial wave of first, you know, 4 or 5 days of people
right
anxiously coming in or, you know, have kind of passed now. So,
yeah, and that, I mean, well, that's something to keep in mind when we get going up here. I was talking about the same thing up here at car dealerships, and
right.
We were anticipating a rush at first, people excited to get out of the house. But I think the unique thing for comic books is you guys are starting back up and there are no new comics.
Right. I was going to say, the little bit different thing for you guys, if you get to open on 18th or whatever it is.
Don't get me started.
Well, yeah, probably not. but at least whenever that day comes, there'll be new books.
Right.
You know, every week. So, like, I'm anticipating, you know, it to pick up starting next week. But not a lot. As we'll see when we get to the later part of our show, there's not a whole heck of a lot coming out
right
next Wednesday.
But there is something.
Like I said, there's something, and it's enough that it'll bring some people out into the store again just to see some new product. But, like, I got my invoice this morning, and looking at what I actually have coming in, there's not going to be a whole bunch on the rack.
Right.
You know, a lot of it was ordered for subscriber copies, and, you know, that's about it, because, you know, again, we didn't know. Who knows what to expect? So,
right.
I didn't take a giant chance on
can't.
A bunch of stuff.
You can't.
Because you can't. Right, like you said, you can't. So
that's a great message. I mean, I know we're not an FOC, but that's a great message for FOC at this time, because
right.
Stores are, I mean, that's a great point you just made, is that you can't take a lot of risk right now. It's
no.
tough. A lot if stores are opening back up, that's good. And they survived.
Right.
But probably not by much. And to be like, I don't think we're going to see a lot on the shelves. Like, hey, Batman 92 coming out. And don't expect
right.
the stack to be that thick.
Well, right. Because like I said, we survived. But it wouldn't take much to swing the other way still.
Right.
So, again, I guess the message would be put things on your pull list.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you have a relationship with the store already.
And buy them.
Yeah. I mean... Yes, that goes without saying, but let the stores know while they're doing FOC what they need to order, because, you know, like I said, shelf copies are a minimum, and even still, like, for instance, DC and Image, most of these publishers, actually almost all of them with the exception of Marvel right now, are offering full returnability on just about everything they order.
Oh, cool.
But that's still not enough to make you go crazy.
Right.
Because you're still paying for the books now and maybe getting to return them in 5 or 6 weeks from now or 2 months from now.
Right.
You know, it's usually a few months because they want them to have an opportunity to sell before they take them all back. So you're still being asked to lay out, to take the risk up front. It, you know, it's kind of the, you know, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today scenario. Where, you know, we're still having to take the brunt of the risk up front. So, yes, in most stores, rack copies are going to be pretty slim. So, like I said, tell your stores what you want. Most stores are set up with some way to let you know what's coming up on FOC or, you know, if nothing else, Previews World has a website that tells you what's coming up every week on FOC. And I would let your stores know what you want, and that way you can get your books.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, and hey, if nothing else, it gets you to go down to your store, say hi, and take a look at what's coming out. And, you know, like you said, it's, you like that foot traffic. It's nice when people come in.
It's nice when people come in, because I'm watching a lot of YouTube.
There you go.
yeah, a lot of stuff on TV right now at the store. So
yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, hey, it's nice. I mean, like you said, it's nice to be open. Hopefully we're there soon up here. It's the governor's not even, he said that there'll be an update on Monday, and I can't even talk
about
it.
Right, which is, that's just an update on Monday.
But no, they have information. That's the that's what's so aggravating. Well, right, but he's not telling us what it is.
But Monday's the 18th when you were actually supposed to be opening.
Well, not and no, they never not, said that. They just they extended it another 2 weeks, and we obviously at that point you'd revisit. But here we are coming up on that 2 week mark. It's very very frustrating for business owners because it's like, well, what are we doing on Monday? And so they're stalling. But what are you doing? Yeah. It's so frustrating to business owners, and it's Anyways,
aside, I can imagine only. I mean, I went through it obviously for a time, but like we said last week, the more time that ticks on, the harder. The harder time marches on. Things are going to get. You're going to have a lot more salon owners in jail because you know they're violating stay-at-home orders and going back to work.
I know. It's all right. Let's get to some happy talk. Let's some fun talk. Let me ask a question first. This question came up on Twitter this week from Chris Chappelle at
Dave's brother.
Yeah, at CMUNKY business, C Monkey Business on Twitter. So here's the question. Okay, serious question. Do you say ATAT or AT-AT?
I say AT-AT. Well, and here's what's funny.
This is because, why I asked it. It's great.
Because I say AT-AT, but I say A-T-S-T.
Right.
Because it doesn't...
Right.
You can't easily say AT-T.
Right.
You know?
AT-T. Right.
Yeah.
So,
but technically it should be A-T-A-T because it is an acronym for something. So.
Right. But I read through the comments and everybody's like so definitive. A-T-A-T. Yeah. Or AT-AT or AT-AT. And it's like, how could it be AT? How could it be AT-AT if you have ATST?
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. My name is DJ. Yours is John. How could that be?
Right.
It's like, you know, it was so, I love the question. I love, cause everybody says it and then somebody will correct somebody or something like that. And, but I love what, like you said, like AT-AT and then, but it's ATST.
Right.
And it's like, I have a perfect example to go along with it. What's my name?
David Joseph.
Yes, but what do you call me?
DJ.
How many nicknames do I have off of my nickname?
Oh, yeah.
I'm DJ. Multiples. D.
Right. Deej.
And Deej. And all of them. So DJ is what? Two syllables.
Right. We make it longer, actually.
No, Deej is shorter.
Oh, Deej is shorter.
Deej
right,
is short. Deej is one syllable.
It's longer when you write it out, though.
Right. Yeah. But exactly. But like AT-AT is two syllables.
Right.
AT-AT is four. It's like, so AT-AT's easier.
Well, you know? And they call them AT-ATs in the movie. actually.
And yeah, AT-AT's in the movie.
Luke refers to him as AT-AT.
What was the Kenner commercial? Somebody had that one on the thing. Too.
I couldn't recall without seeing it. I don't remember.
Imperial AT-AT Walker.
Yeah.
Or was it? I don't know. It's written out here, so for all I know, it's AT-AT.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. It's
serious question.
It can't be wrong. But
you're right.
Everybody did bring up the AT-ST, and I'm like, what does that have to do with this at all?
Right. Well, it would just be because if you follow the rules for one, you should follow the rules for the other. Because
how the English language works.
Because each one of them is a
right. They're all acronyms.
Like it stands for something.
Right.
Yeah. They're all acronyms. So I guess you should follow the same rules for both. But most people don't do that.
No.
You know. Oh. So.
Put it this way. Either way you say it, do people question what you're talking about?
No. They all know.
Well, if they do, they don't know Star Wars.
I was just saying, not everybody knows. My grandmother doesn't know, but but if you know Star Wars, you know what we're talking about.
Exactly. So, all right, what do we got? What do you got for news? Actually, I know you have quite a bit there.
I actually have a ton of stuff this
week. Let's get to it.
I didn't realize I had been saving so much stuff until I started writing it out. The first thing comes from Disney Plus. Looks like we're getting an animated Nick Fury series, which somehow debuts like 2 days from now, and never heard of it until last week. Yeah, this thing debuts May 15th, Friday, on Disney Plus. It's an animated. The Fury Files.
I just had a horrible thought. They're so desperate. It's like somebody threw it together and it's going to be a flip book.
Yeah. Right. They probably started making it last week.
It's like, I got an idea. Run with it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously this thing has been in development for a while, probably since Disney Plus launched or before, because it's animated. It takes a long time to put an animated show together.
Well, let's see the product
first.
No
idea. Well, I know.
But it starts Friday on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it starts Friday on
so
Disney
tomorrow,
Plus.
When this comes out.
Yeah, basically tomorrow.
Awesome.
Chai McBride is voicing Nick Fury. Should be interesting.
That is awesome news.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, and I was all excited. Well,
I haven't even heard of that.
Excited,
where did you hear that?
Rubber Chicken Comics posted it on their Facebook page.
Wow.
And it's linked to, let's see where it's linked to, geektyrant.com. But
that's, why isn't even Disney Plus saying anything about that?
I don't know. Like I said, now this is Geek Tyrant. Maybe this is just complete BS. But according to this, it launches, it's going to focus on Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Spider-Man, and more. Featuring the voice of Chi McBride. Okay, here we go. The series will incorporate a combination of motion comic art and scenes that will be derived from Marvel's popular animated shows, such as Avengers Earth, Mightiest Heroes, and X-Men the Animated Series. And series is scheduled to make its debut on Friday, May 15th. So maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like a narrated clip show. And so it was probably quicker to put together than, you know, obviously it's not a fully fleshed out animated show, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Guess
they put it together last week and it's ready to go, ready to go Friday.
Cool.
But yeah, I haven't even looked on Disney Plus to see if there's like a coming soon or anything for it. So, should be interesting. We'll see on Friday.
Yeah. Did you mention that, Chai McBride's from Ultimate Spider-Man?
I didn't, but I mean, I know who
he is. It's the same one, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome.
I know who the actor is. But yeah, so that should be, you know, that should be cool. Look forward to that. Something to take the place of Clone Wars, I guess, on Friday.
Yep. Yeah.
What
do we got next here? Netflix?
Next, I've got from Netflix has announced a new series, Cursed. This is... based on the King Arthur legend. But this is the story kind of the origin of the sword, you know, so this will predate, Arthur obviously, but it's going to focus on like the Lady in the Lake and all that stuff. But this was written by Thomas Wheeler and Frank Miller. So Thomas Wheeler is a well-known fantasy author, and we all know who Frank Miller is.
not a fan of his latest stuff.
No, but as long as he's not drawing it, should be good. And it says best-selling book, so I don't know if this was an actual... I don't think this was a graphic novel. I think it was an actual...
Oh, okay.
Like a novel series. But it stars Catherine Langford from 13 Reasons Why. I didn't ever watch that, but I know that was popular on Netflix, so I'm sure she has her fans. So that should be cool. All right, Scout Comics has announced a deal with Netflix to produce Wretches, which is one of their original comics. So I'm not familiar with the book. Just looking at the title, the character looks kind of like a cross between Lara Croft and Ghost Spider.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know anything about the series, but that, as far as I know, that'll be the first property from Scout Comics that
to make it onto Netflix.
Yeah, that's made it onto any kind of development schedule. So
cool.
I'm going to skip this next one because I'm going to lump them all in together a little bit later on. The next thing I have, Andy Serkis has come out and said that the Batman film is expected to be darker than any other take on the Batman to date.
Oh, good.
So it's just going to be completely black, right? Like, it can't be... Like, how much darker can it get than the Christopher Nolan trilogy? Which is the only reason why I saved that story, because I thought it was, like... even darker than the Dark Knight trilogy. Well, so, like I said, it's just literally going to be, like, black screen. It's going to be like the episode of Game of Thrones where you can't see anything.
Episode 3, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I'm sure he's talking more story than he's talking story.
Exactly.
Picture,
he's talking about the tone. But even the tone of that was dark. Like,
right.
I just don't know how, like, at a certain point you get so dark, you're light again. You know what I mean? It's like,
not sure it works that way, but okay.
Yeah. You flipped all the way back around to where it's light again.
Hey, look.
I don't know, but it seems like now everybody that gets the reins to do a Batman movie or trilogy is trying to, like, out-dark the guy before him. And I just don't know if we need to keep going that far down that rabbit hole. You know, he is called the Dark Knight Detective, but...
The other thing that makes me laugh is that's not news. Why would you...
No, I know it's not. You know what I mean? It was just something, like, he said.
But why put it out there? Because their biggest criticism... so far in the DCEU has been it's too dark.
Right.
Why can't it be brighter? And then, you know, Wonder Woman was pretty good. It was a little brighter. Aquaman was brighter, and Shazam, and they're going in a slightly brighter direction. Now, I don't expect Batman to be bright because like you said, it's the Dark Knight. But I also, like, you'd be like, it's the darkest ever. It's like, ugh.
Right.
Not that I won't like it, but you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like a good, like, marketing tool. It's like, you hated how dark other things were? This is darker. Like, no, that's not the direction to go. Right. Let people notice it for themselves.
That's why I thought it was funny, because it was just like, I don't know how much darker we need to take it.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Going the opposite direction, I would assume, it looks like Disney is working on a... I don't know how they could call it secret if I'm talking about it, but they're working on a secret project. So, I mean, that's been rumored off and on for years, too. You know, obviously, they've introduced the Nova Corps into the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, and they've talked about doing Nova.
So this is a secret, but Nick Fury's files that's coming to air, and we're just finding out. Okay, working.
Well, that was a secret too, but
exactly. But we didn't know about it, so that made it a real one.
Exactly. And apparently it flew under the radar, because if I didn't tell you about it, you still wouldn't know about it.
No.
Because you didn't see that story anywhere,
No,
right?
I didn't see it. I followed Disney Plus. I'm like, I'm on Disney Plus all the time.
Yeah. Like I said, I got it off of Rubber Chicken's Facebook page. They posted it the other day. So.
Yeah. No, I just, while you were talking, I brought it up. I Googled it, and I saw a bunch of places have it. And
okay.
It's, you know, not just some place called Rubber Chicken.
Yeah.
Because it is like so, New York Times, Rubber Chicken, in order of like
that's true
reliability.
Exactly. San Diego Comic-Con has announced that they are going to do an online streaming convention this
cool.
year.
Oh, I can finally go.
That's what I was thinking too. I can cross it off my bucket list.
Sorry to interrupt. You said bucket list. Did you see Seinfeld? The latest Seinfeld stand-up?
Oh, no, not yet. I know it's on Netflix right now.
Oh, God. It's so funny. And he says he's he goes, yeah. He goes, you get older, he's 65.
I know. Because I watch Comedians in Cars. Do you watch that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
He looks, when you see him on stage, he looks younger.
Great.
He looks fantastic. But he's like, yeah, I did a bucket list. He goes, you get to be in your 60s, you got to do a bucket list. I made a list, change the B to an F, and there's my list.
That's like, awesome.
I'm done with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Anyways,
I can't imagine that guy has a bunch of stuff on his bucket list.
He says that in his show at the beginning. It's really, really good. He leans into like his money and everything. It's really, really
good.
Well,
he does it on the cars, on the Comedians in Cars show too.
Oh,
He's not shy about bringing up the fact that he's loaded.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to see. It's so good. He's so good.
Yeah. I'll have to watch. I knew it was coming. I didn't realize it was out. So I definitely need to watch that.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting back to this again, there's not a lot of details yet on how they're going to do it and what kind of events they're going to do. Are they going to try to do like, is Marvel going to do a panel where everybody's zooming in? Like, we don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they're going to put some kind of content together. And they're going to have to do it relatively soon.
They could do it for July
this year. Yeah. But within the next couple of months anyway.
Well, you got to figure that the people that all of the stuff that would have been released there, all of the, you know what I mean? All of the content would have been promoted there, they're looking for an outlet to promote it anyways. And
a lot of that stuff that they were going to announce and promote now are not going to be on the schedule that they were going to be on 3 months ago. So maybe they're not going to be promoting that stuff anyways.
But it could be an opportunity for Marvel and DC and all of these people, all of these entities, to come out and say, look, it we understand what's going on, we're looking to do whatever x, you know, and yes, the landscape has changed, but this is how we're going to approach it. And it's something that we're all starving for content, so it can't hurt. It's like, I wouldn't be, what if they did it pay-per-view?
If it was compelling enough
to watch,
well, they would have to tell you.
That's like a Mike Tyson fight.
Some idea. Well, that's true too. but even still, before the fight, you knew who he was fighting. Like if they said, "Hey, we're going to have panels from XYZ,"
yeah,
I'd be tempted to pay for it and watch it.
Yeah, it depends on the price too. But I bet you they could make a few bucks if they said like, "Hey, $10 pay per view," and everybody went, "Yeah, I get a chance to go to Comic Con and access to all."
It cost me $3,000 to go, so I'll pay $10. You know, to
sit in my living room.
And when you go, you spend all that money and you can't get into half the halls that you want to get into, anyways. So
that'll probably still happen to me.
Yeah, I'll pay-per-view it. I still won't be able to get in.
Sorry, you clicked too late.
I'll get stuck in the bathroom.
Jen rents books from the library digitally.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't get that one. It's out. It's digital.
How can it be,
Just make a copy. That doesn't make sense. But the library only lends out so many digital copies.
Right. Just one at a time.
Like, what the hell? I got to get it back so somebody else can read it. What the heck?
That's funny.
Don't forget to clean it off.
Don't be kind. Rewind. Don't leave it on the last page. You spoil the ending. I go to rent the book and I start reading and I'm like, oh wow, that starts out dark. The end.
Did I tell you about the time she bought a book on CD?
No.
She listened to like 4 chapters. Shuffle.
That's awesome.
She couldn't understand it.
I don't know what's going on. This book is jumping all over the place.
She put it in her car and she had no idea. She's just driving along. She's listening.
That's super funny. I didn't even know it would do that.
Well,
put it on random.
Yeah, exactly.
Or repeat. It's like it goes to the end and starts back at the beginning. And she's like, this chapter started just like the last one. And then you're like 3 minutes in before you realize you already heard it. Oh, that's great.
Oh, man, that was good. That yeah, when great. She told me that, I pretty much had the same reaction. Just
yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? But she had no idea, and if you don't know the story, bro, you
know. Right, you don't know. You just think it's story. Jumping. Right, you're just like, boy, this is really going all over the place. Haven't even met that character yet. That's great.
Oh, man. All right.
All right,
back
next
to serious
thing.
Business.
Yes, right. Back to the news. The news is serious business, folks.
Right.
It looks like the CW has acquired the rights to season one of Swamp Thing, which aired on DC
yes.
Universe. Which at first I thought was puzzling until I realized that CW doesn't have anything to put on their channel.
Right.
So they need content. But what I thought was interesting and kind of unwanted in a way is that I guess if they get enough viewers, they'll explore the idea of continuing on with other seasons.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want this to get the CW treatment.
Exactly. Like, I thought the exact same thing
this
as you.
This is not a series that I want to see get CW-ized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, lower
like,
budget.
I don't know if you watched the latest episode of Supergirl. Did you watch this
no,
past week's
No, I haven't
episode?
Seen this week's.
Oh. Well, spoiler, non-spoiler, but somewhere towards the end, Alex is talking. And her girlfriend says, well, if you're going to be a vigilante, why don't you just put a costume on? And it's like everybody, literally everybody on every one of those shows puts a costume on and becomes,
right.
you know, a hero.
Yeah.
And I don't need that with this Swamp Thing show. It was great because it was dark and it was, you know, semi-adult. And I just don't want to see it get that CW treatment. You know?
I have a feeling
right,
it's going to
be budget.
Edited,
I don't
too.
Think they could do the... Well, the airings of this will definitely be edited on the CW
right.
because there was language in the show. But I don't think they have the budget to pull off a show
no.
like this on the CW.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was one of the reasons it got pulled in the first place is it was
right,
just
because
expensive
it was actually
to
too expensive for DC Universe.
And if you remember, I mean, I know you'd remember, but it was supposed to be like, wasn't it supposed to be like 13 episodes?
Yeah,
it
got dropped
down
to 8 or
10. And,
yeah.
And the cast was like, It ended abruptly. The filming right. ended abruptly. They wrapped it up really quickly on them. There was a lot of stuff that went into the ending of that was very controversial.
Right.
And a lot of it came down to budget. I mean, you and I talked about it extensively back when it was happening.
Yeah,
and we're like,
I mean, this was like feature level special effects.
It was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah. I think a lot of fans, see, here's what I think they're doing. I think that with HBO Max and with – I think the DC Universe, for all intents and purposes, is either going to go away or, like I said, it'll become the CW commercial-free.
Right.
That's the only way I see DC Universe surviving,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
It's been every headline the last 2 weeks has been about the end of DC Universe because of HBO Max coming out.
Well, I think there's a place for
any,
it, but it has
yeah,
to.
Yeah, none of them are new takes on it. It's
no.
just rehashing the same
right.
old stories. But,
right.
But nobody sees this thing going indefinitely
right.
because there's no reason for it to exist.
And that, well, and that's why I think if they created a CW like commercial free version, then that would be a place for it. Then that would be why you would be paying for it.
Right.
But otherwise, so anyways, back to like Swamp Thing. I think they're debuting it and showing it to the masses, and then it won't get a CW treatment. I think it's going to end up on HBO Max.
It could, and that
if
would
it's
be awesome.
That popular, it would all in all of the people that have HBO Max, it'll be like, here's a taste of it. We gave it to you, very similar to what they did with Harley Quinn. They aired episode 1 on CW, remember? Back when yep. season 1, episode 1. And now they're putting it all out there. I think they're using the CW as their, like, exposure. and then getting people to sign up for HBO Max or other things, you know?
Right.
I know they're saying it could end up on CW, and maybe it could, but I mean, just that we talked about
well,
it.
I would think the likely destination would be HBO Max. But,
yes.
But yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. Was a kind of a surprise move.
Hopefully, it brings life back into the show.
I definitely hope that, especially with the news of them working on the Justice League Dark over there on HBO Max. Because again, when we talked about that a few weeks ago, I would love it to be this version of Swamp Thing that shows up in that show.
Yeah.
It definitely ties the continuity together, and it was a great Swamp Thing. Like, there's no reason to go any other way with it, because it was, I don't want to say perfect, because nothing's perfect, but for all intents and purposes, I mean, the visuals and the, like, it was a great Swamp Thing.
The story,
you can say what you want
a lot,
about the show.
Yeah.
I liked the show, but it did feel kind of stunted just because of the treatment that it got.
Right.
But you can't blame any of that on the actor. Like, you can't blame any of that on the cast or the production people. That was all done way above their, you know, way above their level.
Yeah.
But again, you couldn't really ask for a better Swamp Thing. If they were going to go back and start over, they can't really do it any better.
No.
All right. And then last but not least, we're going to wrap these last three things all back into the Disney Plus Mandalorian, because they all have to do with the Mandalorian. Bunch of news broke this week. Nothing can be secret, I guess. There's no surprises to this season, it seems like. Like, there's almost no reason to even watch it, because we're going to know everything. Yeah. But
next week we'll have like the dialogue.
Right.
They'll give us the scripts.
But it looks like Temuera Morrison is going to reprise, he's not really reprise his role as Boba Fett, but, you know, obviously he was the template.
Right. He was. Yeah.
But he's going to reprise his role as Boba Fett on the Mandalorian season 2, which is awesome. He's also going to play Captain Rex on the Mandalorian season 2.
Oh, okay.
Which is awesome. And
that's going to be cool.
Yeah, and then
now,
are
they going to make him different weights? Cuz Rex by then is a little
Rex
heavier.
Rex is pretty heavy. Yeah, he's heavier on Rebels, yeah. Maybe so.
That would be cool.
It would definitely
film
be cool.
Moment different. You know, obviously look what they did to Chris Hemsworth. So
well, yeah, well, and
I don't think he has to be that big, but
well, but you have what's his name? The Hulk. MCU Hulk. Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
He has that show, that movie coming up on HBO soon that he did, where he plays his own twin brother, and he's much heavier as one than the other.
Oh,
and
okay.
So he had to gain weight and lose weight, and then they had to go back and do some reshots, and he had to gain weight again and lose weight again. So, but yeah, so maybe they do that with Temuera Morrison. Again, this is just all awesome stuff. And then to round it all out, they recast Katie Sackhoff as Bo-Katan, and she's going to appear as a live action version on this show too, which we speculated about a week or two ago on whether they were going to bring her back. So now there's no way Ahsoka Tano is not involved in this season two. The Mandalorian season two is really just like the next season of Clone Wars, because
it really seems
like they're wrapping it all, you know, because again, we know that, you know, the last one to have the Darksaber was Bo-Katan, but now all of a sudden, you know, Moff Gideon has it. So whether she just appears in a flashback explaining how he got it, or, you know, again, we don't know the details, but it's just shaping up like this season can't come fast enough. Like, I thought season one of The Mandalorian was so great, but this season two looks like it's going to blow it out of the water. So
I think, I agree, but I think it's going to leave us so disappointed because we're going to want more.
That's always the fear, right? Because
all of these characters are showing up, and what I think they're doing is they're exposing us to this show here. It's going to be the brand. This is like where they're going to branch off from.
Well, because it looks like we've heard this before too, but now I believe it a little bit more because of Temuera Morrison. But there's now a lot of talk about Boba Fett spinning off into his own series on Disney Plus, which again we'd kind of heard rumors of that before, but it seems more real now if we already know he's going to appear on The Mandalorian.
Right.
How easy is it to spin him off into something else? Same thing, like Bo-Katan and Ahsoka Tano could be spinning us off into season 5 of Rebels or what have you. So, yeah, you're right. It might just be enough to kind of wet our whistle and
That's not what really I think give is going to happen. Yeah.
Not really give us a lot. And that's the danger, right, of knowing, like, we have 6 months now to write our own season and kind of put it in our head of what it's going to be, and then when we get it, it will let us down because
that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
But
that's
yet,
not what I wrote.
Right.
You know?
But
so.
Yet, on Friday, Fury Files will be all open-minded because we have no expectations because we had no idea.
Right. We didn't have any time to get ready for that.
The greatest content ever.
Yeah.
Surprise.
And then I actually have one more thing that I read while I was at dinner right before we started. It looks like AMC just signed an exclusive deal with Anne Rice, who is the writer of the Vampire Chronicles and The Witches of something, another book series that she does. And they basically, you know, signed her whole universe to development deals with AMC to involve movies and TV properties. So I didn't realize, according to this article, there's been like 13 Interview with a Vampire or Vampire Chronicles books. I read like the first 5 and didn't realize they've done 8 more since then.
Oh, wow.
But I was a big fan of those books. You know, years ago I read those and I really liked Interview with the Vampire. The Queen of the Damned movie I thought was terrible, so I guess, you know, I could leave that one. But I like those characters and those properties, so I'm looking forward to see what they do with that. And they also even mentioned, I guess AMC owns the Shudder streaming service, so some of it might end up there as well. It would be pay-gated. You know, you'd have to obviously buy that service to get it. But I thought that was really cool because, like I said, I like those. And she's going to be involved as not necessarily the showrunners, but executive producer on whatever they do. So, you know, again, whenever you have the creator directly involved in the product, you should be getting quality product.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yep.
Cool. All right. I got a couple of things. Another question for you. I know you saw this on Twitter, but Dr. Joe at Brightside Chat at Arkham Comics, when are we getting a Heroes in Crisis episode?
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
And I'm like, well, we talked about it, but...
Yeah, that would require me to read it again.
That's what I was thinking.
Because I haven't read it recently enough that I could talk about it intelligently.
Right.
Not that I ever do that, but...
I have the trade. I bought the trade afterwards.
Well, I have all the books. I own them too. I mean, I have all the individual issues. It's just...
I have those too. We read it. We talked about it as it went along, but...
We did. And we did a pretty deep dive on the end of it, because we talked a lot about Wally and
yeah,
what went on with him. But, you know, it's definitely... I would never say never, but I'm not actively looking to read that again.
Yeah. He must have just finished it. Did he say he just finished it?
I don't know. But yeah, he must have, because I don't know why it would be so recent for him. I know he's looking for me to go off on it, and, you know, I'm all about that, but...
yeah.
Like I said, I would have to read it all again.
I think that was it, right? You didn't like it as much as I liked it.
Well, I liked it less as it went on. Like, I thought it started out strong, and then it got so incoherent in the middle, and then I just didn't like the end at all. But it got very confusing and stupid as far as I'm concerned. But it started out, I thought it started out pretty strong. The first couple of issues.
I liked how it even got confusing because it was, I agree with you, but I thought with the ending, it meant that's
well,
what
it did
the middle
tie it,
meant.
I mean, it tied itself up a little bit at the end. And again, now I'm speaking a little bit out of turn because I don't, it's not really fresh in my mind.
Right.
I'm just
going off of what our conversations.
Exactly. I'm trying to go off the memories of how I felt about, how I know I felt about it when I was reading it.
But I will say, if he's just finishing this now, he should go and read next those, what were those flash books that we read? You told me to read them and I grabbed
Flash Forward.
Yes.
Flash Forward. Yeah, that miniseries.
Because it
basically picks up
from the end of Heroes.
It does, and it redeems Wally a bit after the end of Heroes in Crisis because
you're not left with great
feelings for Wally at the end of that. But the Flash Forward definitely brings that back a little bit.
Yeah.
So
definitely look into that.
Read.
What is that? Four? Was that four or five? Six?
I thought it was six, actually.
Six books. And I blasted through them.
And really,
they're really good.
The miniseries overall is pretty good, but it's really not until five and six where you get the payoff of it.
Yeah, that's right. Because you read six and you're like, you have to read these because there was a big change at the end of six.
Yes.
And then I was like, all right. And I happened to have all of them. And I was like, I hadn't read them. I was like, all right. And I blasted through them. And they are, it basically picks up from Heroes in Crisis and goes from there. So, maybe we'll do that someday. Maybe.
Yeah.
I knew you'd have that. That's work, John.
I know. It is. And I'm super busy right now, as I explained. I'm watching a lot of YouTube at the store.
You got a YouTube playlist you're trying to get through.
I do, right? So.
And a little housekeeping from Monday's episode, Spider-Man from 2002, Sam Raimi's. So I was listening to our podcast as I was editing it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought of something. Remember we were joking about the New Yorkers on the bridge?
Yes.
And throwing the soup cans and you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I haven't listened to the commentary yet. I believe I heard somewhere along the line that was added in, okay, and this is pretty cool because I know the second part is 100% true. That was added in to substitute out a scene that you had to take out. So when they made that movie, obviously before 2002, there was a scene where Spider-Man flew between the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers.
Right.
Okay, and they had to take that scene out of the movie.
Right.
And then the you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us was put back in, or that sentiment was put back in reference to 9/11 and solidarity with the New Yorkers and to show the strength of the New Yorkers.
I mean, that makes sense.
I remember hearing that after that movie coming out.
Yeah, if you look at the timeline, and yes, I remember that too, that I distinctly remember them having a scene with the Twin Towers that they had to take out of the movie. So,
yeah, I mean, every New York scene before 2001 had the Twin Towers in it.
Right.
Any movie, you know, I mean, even Friends, watch old Friends episodes and you'll see they have a picture on the wall and it's got the Twin Towers. So they come in, and to this day, you're just every time you see it, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was thinking of that one. I was like, did you mess with one of I remembered that 9/11 reference. So. And the last thing I was going to bring up before we get into comics, and apropos with heading into comics, Iowa's Joe Crawford on Twitter. If you're listening to us and you're not following Iowa's Joe Crawford at Iowa's Joe, you're crazy.
Well, there you go.
this guy, I mean, every morning he puts out like six comics. He can't possibly be reading these things every single day, but it's awesome. He puts out a comic like every a bunch of pictures of comics every morning, just says good morning. Just a great follow on Twitter. I've been meaning to mention it for a couple of weeks. I follow every morning. It's like, and lately it's been obviously old back catalog stuff, but he'll have some stuff in there that he's recent stuff that he's reading when new books are coming out, but just a fun follow. So check him out. If you're not already, definitely check him out. So, let's see. Oh, End of Rebels. There was a line in that. I loved it. Who was it that said it? I can't remember who said it to him, but as talking to Ezra, Ezra, it's art. Everything has meaning. Remember they were looking at the wall?
Yeah.
I can't remember who said I love that.
Well, it had to have been Sabine, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
She was the artist, so.
I know, but I thought my memory is right, and I just watched it last week, but yeah, I know. That's what I thought it was, but I thought it could have been somebody else pointing to it, because I don't know if Sabine was there at the time. But I love that, because I love always think, like, everything has meaning. I've always said that. So I thought that was cool when that jumped out at me in that scene, and that ending to that show is awesome.
It was.
So, all right. You ready to get to some comics?
I am.
All righty then. Here we go. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So for our... these wouldn't really be speculator books because they're not brand new, so they'd be more back issue bonus, I guess. But kind of to go off of the announcement that we talked about in the news from Scout Comics, I looked up Wretches number 1 on eBay this morning, and it's currently selling for between $10 and $18. So, obviously, being spurred on by the announcement that they're going into production on Netflix. So that might be something that you want to take a look at. And then I also looked, based on the announcement that Boom signed their deal with Netflix, I went back and looked at several of their recent number one issues. And the biggest winner seems to be Something is Killing the Children. The first issue is selling consistently between $25 and $35. So that's definitely one that people are kind of banking on them putting into production. Again, no announcements on what they're going to make, but any of these are up in the air. I also checked out Red Mother number 1, which is selling for about $10, and Once in Future number 1 also selling at $10. So you might want to take a look at any of those, and again, any other recent number 1s or future number 1s that they put out are definitely be worth taking a look at. So
has Once in Future been picked up?
No. Well, they haven't announced anything.
Right.
As far as what they're putting in production.
That's the one we said right away.
These are the more recent books that I think could go into production. Yeah. Because based on the stories, they all seem like things that would make great.
Yeah.
Either movies or, all of these.
We
really
said that when all of these number ones came out.
Yeah,
it
would be
them.
Ongoing.
We're like,
I would like
Netflix.
To see them in series form and not necessarily in movie form.
Right.
But they're all ongoing books as of right now. So, as far as how far they can go. The only problem with these, though, is that they're very recent. And also knowing how long it takes to put seasons into production versus how many issues of these books we can get. Like, we'll quickly surpass the source material if these go into series. And that's not right. Always a bad thing, but, it does remain to be seen how long some of these could run on as seasons, where we only have currently 6 or 7 issues of the book in the can to reference off of. So,
well, unless you totally botch it like they did with Lock and Key.
Yeah. One man's opinion, but yes.
Yep.
But yeah, so like I said, take a look at those. But that's it as far as back issue bonus goes.
All right. And yeah, speculator/back issue. Nice combination yep. there. Yeah. What do we have for FOC for Monday? It's quite all a right, list, so, actually.
Actually, this was a long FOC, actually. Compared to last week's where there was hardly anything. This one here had I left a bunch off because there was so much.
Oh,
on
really?
Here. Yeah.
But some of the, all right, we'll get to it. But actually, some of these aren't even coming out, like you're FOCing and they're not coming till July, like late July, I saw.
Yeah, it's weird. And a lot of these we've talked about already.
Yes. Yes.
Like when we get down to the Black Cat cover, we talked about this with your daughter when we did the last Harry Potter issue.
Yes, you're right. I know we'd seen it. I actually went ahead and I researched a few of these. I've seen them already, some of them.
But yeah, just to get back to the top. We'll start with DC like we always do. Yep. We have the Batman number 92 Art Germ cover. At this point, everybody has seen this. You know, this cover's
been floating
around.
This is one we've already
talked
about, too, yeah.
Yeah, this cover's been floating around for months and months and months. But, you know, it's finally coming up on FOC again. It's definitely going to have a lot of people looking for it, though, so it's worth putting it out there. We also have Justice League number 46 has a Clayman variant cover. Excuse me.
Okay.
And Lois Lane number 11, Joelle Jones. Now, this is the first time I've seen this cover. I actually liked it quite a bit. I thought it was really cool.
I couldn't find that one.
I mean, I can send you a picture of it. Well, actually, they're all up on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's one I hadn't seen before. And then new series from DC, we have Batman The Adventure Continues, which is the continuation from the animated series. Again, this was announced a little while back. Now, this one, they did go ahead and release digitally because I've read this number one already, which I actually think – I think all of it was digital first anyways, but the print version will be 6 issues. That's it from DC. From Image, we have Adventure Man, issue number one, and Nailbiter Returns, issue number one. And both of those look like they just had one cover. Marvel Comics has variants for Black Cat number 11. Like I said, we talked about this before. This is the Greg Land variant cover. I really like that one. And then Deadpool number 5, Mirka Andolfo, has a cover. And there was no new series from Marvel on FOC. AWA Comics has Old Haunts, issue number 1, with one cover. Boom has Faithless 2, issue number 1, multiple covers. From Ablaze Comics, we have The Cimmerian Red Nails, number 1. This is a Conan story, obviously. Dynamite has a variant cover, Deja Thoris, number 5. There's a Louisa Priestler variant cover that I liked quite a bit. If you see it, you'll know why. Archie Comics has Sabrina Something Wicked, number 1 of 5, with multiple covers. And last but not least, we have from Zenoscope Comics, Robin Hood Justice, number 1, with multiple covers.
Yep. My favorite, I looked those ones up because, you know, I like the Robin Hood series.
Yeah.
My favorite was the, what was it, Josh Byrne's cover. Uh-huh. It's her kneeling down with the bow extended, her arm extended.
Yeah,
in the
I
bow.
Remember that one.
It's a nice cover.
Yeah.
I like that. The other one that was nice was, I just thought it was a little too, it's a nice cover. It's colorful. It's the Keith Garvey cover. I don't know.
For
the
Robin Hood?
Robin Hood. Yeah. The others. And it's the red, the woman in all the red.
I like Keith Garvey's artwork, too.
It's nice artwork, but I just thought that for a cover, I thought that was, like, too straight on. Remember when we were doing self-portraits, they said don't look, like, straight at the page?
Right.
Like, try to get a quarter shot or something. And that's what this is. So it wasn't as dynamic as the other one. But it was way more colorful because it was mostly red.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. What was the? I finally found the. My search wasn't working. Which cover? Lois Lane cover.
Lois Lane number 11. Joelle Jones. That's yellow.
Kinda, it's kind of like a '60s vibe, '70s vibe to it.
Yeah, like I said, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
That's pretty cool. And then what was the? Deja Thoris?
Deja Thoris.
Now you
number
have
number 5.
All right. Yeah, I just pulled this up. Deja Thoris number 5. Louisa Priestler. That's a nice one. There's quite a few covers for this.
Yeah, well, it's Dynamite. So
yeah.
It has its standard 97 covers.
It's got
the
11 of them.
Yeah, but the main cover, the A cover, Lucille Perillo, I mean, that one's really nice too. He does great work. But yeah, Dynamite always has has these covers.
Great so. Googly moogly.
I know it.
That's nice. Ha cha cha. All right. What'd you check out this week?
I didn't.
All right, let's move on then. Let's move on to what'd you check out on TV?
That's why I left it. That's why I left it blank.
I know, and that's what I was leading into. What'd you watch? Anything good?
I watched season 3 of Medici came on. The final season dropped this week
seen
on
one
Netflix.
And two.
Yeah, so we had just watched the first couple seasons, less than a month ago, and season 3, like I said, it dropped. So we watched that, and let's see. We watched Rambo Last Blood the other day.
Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before.
Oh, boy.
It was a Rambo movie, you know.
Yeah. I thought it was a little slow for a Rambo movie.
Yeah, it was. And a little, you know, obviously way over the top. But we watched that.
That's a Rambo movie.
Yeah. And then now we're almost done with the latest season of Outlander. So that's what we've been watching this week.
Yeah, I didn't do much comic book related for streaming. I did, but we finished Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
Season 3, we finished that. Very, very dark.
Jen loved it. Is. Yeah.
Kind of a weird ending.
It was.
Season 3. Yeah. Not horrible, but not, I mean, it's a good show. And I pulled a John Ciccone. We pulled a Ciccone. We sat down, and in one night, we watched all of Waco.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, so you know the story.
Well, yeah.
Okay. It's only 6 episodes, but they're like 40 to 50 minutes long, each one.
Yeah.
And I got home from work or whatever at like 4. We started dinner, and we just sat there, and we just kept going through it. And it's pretty... another dark story, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's told through the negotiator and based on the books that were written by the negotiator at the scene.
Right.
And one of the survivors. And you'll see which survivor it is in the book when you watch the show. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good. You're not sure about how true it is.
Right.
Because it looks like they may have taken some liberties in either direction to tell the story. Because, I mean, you know the story and the building burned at the end, but you don't. Both sides are claiming the other side did it. And so, and you could see it goes both. They make a good case to show you that it could be either side that did it. They kind of lean one way on this, but... It was compelling television for, you know, 6 hours, 5.5 hours,
yeah,
whatever
it was. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at it.
It was pretty good. Pretty good.
I watched another movie, too, that I actually meant to tell you about because you might want to check it out if you haven't seen it. It was on, I think it's an Amazon Prime original, Honey Boy. Have you watched that? It's
sounds
like
a funny title.
Yeah, but... it is, but it's got, what's his name? Transformers guy.
Optimus Prime?
No, the kid. The actor. Though.
I know. Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf. It's semi-autobiographical story. I think he wrote it and produced it. It was really interesting, but you would like it for the sound. Like, you want to watch this in your theater. Definitely want to watch it in your theater. It's not an action movie by any means, but it's got some... Especially in the beginning, he's an act, like a stuntman or whatever, and there's some good sound. But yeah, I was blown away by the sound of this. And then it ended up being a pretty decent story. I mean, it's a sad tale, but it's, but it's based, again, it's based on his childhood, and his relationship with his father.
Oh, wow.
But yes, it was a pretty interesting movie, actually.
Cool.
So
cool. Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of Fall Guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in, well, obviously, years.
Yeah. It
probably doesn't hold up, but Heather Thomas is in it. So,
yep.
And
yep.
Marky Post. So.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that. I haven't seen her yet, I don't
think. Yeah, she comes like in season 3 or something.
Is it that late? Then I won't see her.
It might be season 2.
I only got season 1.
Oh, it might be season 2. I don't think she shows up in the first season, but
no.
But Heather Thomas is there, and that's enough.
Yes, yes. but yeah, it's fun. it's definitely fun. I remember watching that with my father and
growing up, I loved that show when I was a kid.
Oh, I loved that truck.
Yeah.
It's in the early on, it remember it later on the truck opened from the side. It had like the back side had side doors on it.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's been a long time.
The bed had side doors on it, which I thought was so cool back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so
really past Heather Thomas. I don't remember much about that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Howie in the first episode, he like hits on her.
Yeah.
When he first gets there and he says something to her, but she's a stunt woman. And she threatens to kick his ass.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
That was the
She's
end
like,
of that.
You'll treat me with the respect I deserve. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. But, yeah. So, that's it. And then most of the time, Jen and I have been watching that depressing stuff. So, we cleansed ourselves with that Seinfeld
I need to watch that. Because, like I said, whenever I've got, like, 30 to 45 minutes and I don't have, like, I don't want to watch a movie or something, I throw on two or three episodes of that, of Comedians in Cars.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going through it. We're taking our time going through it, but.
Did you see the Eddie Murphy one?
No, not yet. I just saw the Larry David one the other day.
Yeah.
Those are really older ones then. These are, like I said, we still got a long ways to go on this. We've watched a couple of the early seasons, but, but yeah, like you said, it's kind of like our filler between, it's kind of like what Quibi is supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
When we're not going to go to bed for like another half hour, but we don't have time to watch another show, I throw a couple, of those on. And,
I'm watching Chuck every night.
Yeah.
I watch that every night.
Yeah.
Chuck and it's great. Like, I put it on when we get in bed and I fall asleep to it. And then the next, but Jen doesn't fall asleep like I do.
So she's like three or four episodes ahead every day.
Not only that, she's seen like every episode like six times because I'll be like, oh, I haven't seen this yet. So I'll back up to, cause you'll wake up or the next night I'll go to put it on and I'm like season two, episode 10. Well, I fell asleep on season two, episode two. So I'll back up and she'll be like, oh,
That's funny.
But she actually likes it. She didn't think she would.
Oh, she hadn't seen it?
She hadn't seen it. She just, obviously, she heard me talk about it, when it was playing live. I'd come up, oh, you got to see this. And I was so excited about it. But then she was like, oh, whatever. But then after she watched episode two, I think she started with me. And she's like, this is a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, Lydia and I watched it when it aired. And I think I liked it more than she did. But she watched it all with me. And I think she liked it. So
yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. It's funny to see that, Zachary Levi now.
Yeah.
And just, you see him. He was obviously younger, but he was a nobody.
And skinnier.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So, all right. That it?
I think so.
All right. We got a very big, very exciting show coming up for Monday.
Yeah.
We got Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
All right.
We haven't done this one yet.
No, we haven't.
I looked over it, and I know I watched it a little while ago. I even looked on my other podcast, see if I talked about it there. I'm like, I couldn't find it, but I feel like I talked about it somewhere.
Well, we talked about Justice League, and we talked about Man of Steel, right?
Yes.
On the other show, like, in the beginning, in the early days of our show.
Oh, yeah, well,
and, the shows but for some that reason, never we aired. Skipped, we skipped we, right around this one for some reason.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, and we have that Wonder Woman episode that has never aired.
It has never aired, yeah. It probably will not.
No. But, yeah, so can't wait to get to that one. That should be fun for Monday. But, hey, let us know what's going on out there. You can tweet at us at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. You can check out all the great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. And please, if you're on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your friends about us. That'd be great. Anything else, John?
I don't think so.
Alrighty. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back on Monday with... Dawn of Justice. Should be exciting. See you then. Have a great weekend.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.